Normally we would do healing towards the end of the service, but tonight the Lord wants to do something. And firstly, we learned a call. There's the lady here, and you see that about around the second row from the back, and you are not able to turn your neck fully. Now, anyone with that neck condition, I'd like you to come right up to the front here. If you're one of those. You cannot turn your neck fully. There's a vertebrae. I had a vision of a vertebrae being touched straight away while we were worshiping. And whether you're a man or a woman, you can come right up. But there's a lady here, and they can come right up. Also, I saw a vision of a hand that was injured in the past, and you could not bend or stretch your hand fully. So anyone with the same symptoms, can you come right up to the front very quickly? While we continue singing a song, I will give you all my worship. I'll give you all my praise. Kingdom of God is here. And tonight, the Lord just want to bring relief to the healing. I know you're believing God for rest things. And just come right up as we sing that song right now. Thank you, Jesus.
My worship, I will give you all my.
Would you find out from one of the ladies here, because they are Indonesian and might not speak English, whether one of them have a neck problem where they cannot turn fully their back and their neck. Thank you. And let's continue worshiping. Let's continue worshiping. Thank you, Jesus. Could you check with our man from China whether he has some heart palpitations in his life before? Yes. Does he have shortness of breath? And how palpitation is like before. If he has that, come right to the front. The Lord wants to touch him right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else with a neck problem? You got a neck problem, come right up. And, you cannot, this is a condition, you cannot turn your head without moving your body. And that's a very severe vertebrae problem. God wants to touch you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Remember, the Holy Spirit is here. And thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
I will give you all.
Since the last time that you fall, thank you. Keep singing, but softly. Were you able to turn your neck? You could not. You always had a pain before, after the fall. Right. Tonight you're going to receive whatever you want from the Lord. Even now the power of God is on your life. Thank you, Lord. Receive it in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That goes right into you. Fill you with His joy. Thank you, Lord. So the Lord reveal this heart palpitation problem in your life. And would you want to come to stand with Him? Continue. continue worshiping softly. As long as it's just below the words, I'm fine. He has a vision of planting many, many churches in China, and he needs that strength that the Lord will give to him. I see him like a firebrand going to various parts of China, preaching the gospel and bringing healing to the sick. But firstly, the Lord wants to touch and heal him fully so that he will have all the energy, the strength, and the witnesses in his heart valve. And I could also see that he has a little bit of diabetic problem and some areas in his sugar level. And he also has, besides the weakness of the heart, he also have a, what shall I discuss this problem? There's a digestion problem where he handles certain food. But all these things the Lord's going to touch and bring a full hell of healing for the sake of his ministry. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Even now, his hands are laid on you, receive the healing anointing. There it goes, right into him. Thank you, Jesus. And so the Spirit is all over you, adjusting your spinal cord right now. The power of God is going through your spinal cord, touching and ministering to you, so that it is him who will adjust, and the adjustment in your vertebrae he is doing right now, because the Lord Jesus is the best chiropractor. And even now, sir, the power of the Lord goes all through you. And you know, because I have a vision of you crying out to the Lord. And you were crying out in your prayer room. And you said, Lord, if you're real, now touch me in this time. Don't pass me by. And this day the Lord says, I will touch you. I'll put my power on you, that you may know my power and my grace is upon your life. Even right now, his power is all over you. Thank you, Jesus, for his fire and his grace and his mercy that he released upon you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. We worship you. So the anointing and the power of God is upon your life. We worship and we bless you. We bless you. We bless you. Do not touch him, but just leave your hand somewhere about this distance from him. Come right to the front right now. Just hold your hand there, and the power of God is all over him. Thank you, Jesus. For him, do not touch. Thank you, Jesus. There he goes, right through. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Luna is one of those who receive very easily, and you love the Lord. All that you stand for, the help that you need to do the great work that the Lord has for your life. You came because you're going to claim the fullness of help and the healing. And also the Lord will flow through your life, Deborah, in renewal of youth, and that will deposit upon her life. Do not touch her, but hold your hands above her head just like that. That's it. And the concentration of power will go. There it goes, receive it. That's it. Thank you, Jesus. I'll keep worshiping everyone.
I will give you all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone, yes, my God,
well, sister. And you know your calling is there. You have a hip condition, right? I know it. You never told me that, but the Lord just pointed out to me. Lord says tonight, lift up your hands, and your hip will feel the power of God going to you right now. Thank you, Jesus. Lift up your hands to the Lord to receive. There's a hip problem that's being touched in your life right now. We thank you, Father. Nelly, come. Together with Fiona, standing beside her. Come right to the front. Now, get ready to receive the healing touch on the Lord. Boy, you lay hands on her. Thank you, Father. Receive that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. That goes right to you. The power of God, healing your hips. Angel of the Lord asked me to pick you up. You all are doing fantastic. You keep doing that, I'm going to bring you everywhere with me. Right. Yes. Come on this side. Would you like to come and stand here, Deborah? Yes. Not to touch him. Yeah, just be near him. Thank you, Lord. This is what the Lord said in the words of his angel to your angel. Yes, you may record it if you want. Take your time to record. The Lord has freed you from many fears in your life. And in which fear that he has freed you from, you're sensing and beginning to be awakened spiritually. There was a time that you might have forgotten, but a time that when you were a very young teenager, I'm seeing a vision of you as a very young boy. It might be just coming to the teens or just before that. But there was a sense of God in your life. And the angel has me to remind you that there was a time that you were fully dedicated. You not only want to explore the world, you want to know everything you can. If there's a God up there, you want to know and you want to serve this God. The time you slowly come to meet this God. And in the afflictions that you have in your stomach areas have been built over many years. Part of it comes from your soul and not just the physical, which is why all the medicine you take, and we do work with doctors and we do recommend those with symptoms to continue with the medicine, which is why all the medication has not fully helped you to recover. But this day serve the Lord. As your heart return to the ways of the Lord and your heart return to the Lord, He will restore the passion that you had when you were young in the things of God, in the things of life. And all it takes is a decision in your heart. All it says is, I will. And tonight, I just want you to say this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I will. I will love you. I will trust you. I may not understand everything, but I will. I will. It's good enough for me. Even now the Lord touches you, and let me discuss more of the different symptoms. You're also beginning to have pains on the knobs of your fingers. And they're beginning to come. And the Lord says that unless He arrests this condition, it's going to get worse. Which is why the angels of the Lord have you to come up tonight to begin the process of the work of healing and health in your life. and restoration of you. Right now, receive, even as hands are laid on you. Thank you, Jesus. Yes.
I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my praise.
I will give
you all my worship.
And Sister Cynthia, your two friends, when are they going back to Indonesia? Tomorrow? So this is your last night? Then come right up. We will bless them. While they are nodding, our God is here.
You alone are worthy of.
Standing here while you were walking up, I pick up that one of you had something like a knots in your ankle area, little knots like muscle tightness that formed. Any one of you have that? Tonight, all the knots will disappear as we pray as a part of your healing. And I know you came for healing, different things, but God has already begun the work of healing in your life. And Jesus loves you. You came all the way. You flew all the way from Indonesia. And the Lord loves you. Lord bless you. And yeah, I'm seeing things in your spirit too. When I look at your eyes. And the Lord is also saying to you, don't worry about your children, because they will all come back to Him and follow. The Lord says that you've been praying and crying for them. The Lord says not to worry, because your prayers have been heard. And I know you're praying out of your voice box. Your husband is a doctor, right? And I just want you to say just three times, even tonight, I love you, Jesus, with whatever strength you have.
I love you, Jesus. I love you.
Hallelujah. You know how when Naaman was asked to wash seven times? Yes. So Naaman put himself seven times in a river. You remember the sad story? Seven times, tujuh kali? Okay. So lagi empat kali. I love Jesus. Right. Why I put my hand on you. Seven times exactly.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus. I love Jesus.
I love Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And Father, you have seen a release of faith. Even as I go back, I thank you for the release of the muscles in the vocal cord. And I thank you, Father God, for the creative work that you do. For this needs a miracle. You need a creative work, Father. And I thank you. You began the creative work, restoring every muscle and vocal cord. And as she began to talk every day, from this day onwards, when you go back and when you begin to talk, you find your voice getting louder and louder and louder. Your vocal cords being restored perfectly. And I hope when I go to Indonesia for the crusade, that I get to see you all. Right. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you for your blessings, your grace upon each one of them. Thank you for all that you're doing. Thank you, Father. I bless them. I bless them because they come all the way. And I thank you, Father, for your gift of miracles. Not only that, in the spirit, soul, and body, you bless all of them too, Lord. Bless each one of them, Father. And I impart the blessings upon them. As Melchizedek, I bless them. I bless them, O Father God. And you, dear sister, you're going to be a soul winner for the Lord. Let us in the Lord. Thank you, Father, for all your work in each life. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
You are my worship. I will give. You are my praise. You are love.
Worship to Jesus.
I will give you
all my worship. I will give you all my praise. You alone I long to worship. You alone are worthy of my.
You're not being filled with the Holy Spirit. Be filled with the Holy Spirit right now. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Be baptized in the Holy Spirit. From South Africa, and you're watching America's service, and Joshua said you asked to pray for your brother. I haven't forgotten you before the Lord, and the Lord just showed me a vision while we were worshiping, and this is a word, and there's no cure for the ailment of your brother that you've been praying for, your brother called Innocent, and this is the word that the Lord has. I saw this vision of and I saw, now it might not be made of clay, but in his house, in the house where he lives, which I also pick up, it's not really his house. It's like a family house, a family property. And there is an object, and it's a place where it won't be quite like the living room. It's like a room that you use for many things also, because the structure of your house is very different. And but there is a like a clay object, but it might not be made clay. To me in the vision, it looks like clay kind of object, African artifact. And the Lord says that From that day that that was given to him or brought into the house, he has had the affliction. So all you have to do, as you have been praying for this deliverance, for this healing, is get rid of that object. And as you get rid, anoint the house, cleanse it, and declare it cleansed in the name of the Lord, as you anoint the windows and the doors. And then after that, anoint him, and he'll be fully restored, and he'll be healed, because the dominion of the Lord has come, and the kingdom of God will come upon that house. Peace be in that house, and healing will flow forth, as the presence of God is also here, and the peace of God is in this place, and upon everyone who receives the presence and the mercy of our God. We thank you, Father, that the kingdom of God is here. And all those online too, if you're near America, reach out to the Lord and receive your miracle. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. Give Jesus a good clap offering. Thank you, musicians and worshippers. And yesterday night, as we were talking about unbelief, and I mentioned that how our end-time church is full of unbelief. And we have lived so long with it, we are not aware of it. It's just like bad breath. You know, you might have bad breath and you're so used to it, you don't know it, but everybody around you know it. Or like, for example, in some cultures are more clean than other cultures. And so if you came from a culture that is not very clean or a bit messy, a bit dusty, and the people don't clean or wash up as much, then you are not aware that that your cleanliness level is very low, unless you confront another culture that is bath clean and really wash themselves thoroughly and all these areas. So it's important for us to know that sometimes we live in certain conditions for so long that we don't realize that we are sick of those things. Because we have tolerated them, we incorporated them into our lives, that we thought that that is the norm, when that is not the norm. Until we confront a situation where we realize, hey, that is not what it's supposed to be. And in this end time, God is raising our faith and our belief in Him, in the Word, in the simplicity of the Word. As I said, this is the fourth night at the miracle service. On the first night, I mentioned how that when Jesus preached the kingdom of God, it was always with healing that followed. And then the apostles took the kingdom of God message, the gospel of the kingdom, and for them it was a gospel. It was a gospel of good news, the good news of our Lord Jesus Christ. They went and proclaimed everywhere the gospel. And Paul himself said in Romans chapter 1 that the gospel of God is the power of God. And Paul also says in 1 Corinthians that his preaching is not just with words and the wisdom of man, but his preaching was also with demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He said the way is so that people will, faith will not be in humans, but the faith will be in the power of God. But many of us were born again without the power of God. Although we must recognize that the greatest miracle we could ever receive, of course, is to be born again. To have our spirits born again is one of the greatest miracles, beyond even physical miracles. But yet, we are so used to just a spiritual realm that a natural realm, we live without miracles for so long. And that I say, it's a habit for many Christians. Not that there's anything wrong, but it's a habit that whenever we are sick, the first thing we do is reach out for our local medicine or pharmacy or our medicine cupboard or to call the doctors or whatever. That's the first thing we do. The first thing we do is not pray to God
to let give God a chance to touch and heal us. And so that's the default mode of most Christians. And we have lived without the power of God for so long, we have got so used to it, that that has to change. Because that level of faith is not good enough for the glorious church. That level of faith is not good enough for our Lord Jesus Christ. And the enemy has a heyday because faith is not being exercised. And the second day, on the miracle service, I preach about how that when Jesus went out, what exactly did he preach? What exactly did he talk about? Of course, he talked about the Father, he talked about the things of God, talked about spiritual laws, and he talked about his higher law above the Old Testament law. Sermon on the Mount proved many spiritual principles that he brought forth that was much higher. He talked about matters of the heart and not just matters of the law. And he talked about the fulfillment of the law in a higher principle. Talked about love and loving your enemy and all these wonderful principles. But the main message that he preached to them was that the kingdom of God is now come. And having now come, because he himself was the kingdom. He was the king who rules the kingdom. And when he, the king, is around, the kingdom of God is around. And he announced that now is the time. And we remember we read Luke chapter 4, verse 18 and 19 in the second night. And Jesus, he opened the scroll of Isaiah and said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon him to anoint him to preach the gospel to the poor, to set the captives free, to deliver them, to preach acceptable year of the Lord. Then he sat down and he said, today, this scripture is fulfilled. See, for thousands of years they've been waiting. And now he says, today. So his main announcement was, it is time. Everyone, it is time. And these are the end times. Last year, the Antichrist was born. You begin to see more of that in the coming decades. 2004, the false prophet was already born. And the 144,000 are already being born. And they will all be here, born on the planet Earth, before 2029. We are living in the end times. Church is no more as normal. Everything has changed. And I'm the voice that cry at midnight that finally I accepted the call that God has given unto me to go and tell people it is time that the kingdom of God has come. Not only that, when the angel started appearing to us in 2012 and began to tell us to do different things, because some of the things we don't understand. When he first tells us to build altar, he said, huh? We New Testament build altar? Yes, I asked the same question you all asked. But, you know, no harm done. See, my question is, what harm is there? There's no harm done. You know, let's just do it and see what happens. And so we've been obedient and doing as God. Then we began to learn more about altars and how it is like, it's like the whole planet Earth is a magnet. And how, you know, when you begin to arrange, when you begin to take a magnet and begin to rub on iron, it becomes magnetized. So whenever we begin to take natural things, which is why the heavy stones or whatever material that we could find, and when we put it together, then in the Old Testament, we sacrifice animals. In the New Testament, we just anoint with oil, and then we proclaim or do a communion before the Lord, and we point to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then one of the first things, the angels, I think, want to teach us. First thing that we saw at the first altar we built was suddenly the angels look brighter. They say, hey, how come they look better, you know? And it was like the altar became like a, what I call, a beacon point of spiritual energy. See, the whole earth is full of natural and spiritual energy. And when you ask, how do you claim a country for God? Well, through prayer. But one of the things that we learn is to build altars. Then I began to look at the whole Bible and realize that 400 years before the Israelites claimed the land of Canaan, God sent Abraham to build altars all over. Remember, God told him, walk through the land and the breath. What did he do? He was building altars, claiming the land for God. Even though the altars through time and through weather began to deteriorate as a natural phenomena, but whatever was done in the spirit had been released. So that 400 years later, God says, this is my land. Before even all the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Jebusites, all that dwell there, God already claimed it from Abraham's time, 400 years ago, before they came out of the land of Egypt. Altars seem to be very important to the Lord. And one of the first things that Joshua did was build an altar when they crossed over to the promised land. So altar seems to be very important to the Lord. I remember the story of Jacob. After he met God, he built an altar. Because his altar is just one stone. And then, don't forget this. After 20 years, when he came back, God says, I'm the God of battle. And then he moved back to his hometown. And then God says, appear to him and says, after he make peace with his brother Esau along the way and all those things, after 20 odd years, God says, go and stay at battle where you build the altar. See, if you really study the Bible, you find that there's some sort of spiritual forces at work that we do not know. But here's the thing. You know how sometimes people are ignorant of spiritual things, but the enemy is not? Why do you think a lot of the enemy is using high places? Is it subconscious or is it just for the view? Now, the enemy knows. But we Christians have not read our Bible and we become ignorant of some of the spiritual things that are there. They are a reality. Of course, the power of Jesus is greater than anything that the enemy can make, so no fear. But the thing is, if you have the chance, dedicate a place to God. Dedicate a country to the Lord. Be an altar to the Lord. And here's the thing. You might say it's an Old Testament thing. Some Old Testament things definitely have passed away in Christ. Right? I agree. The clean and unclean animals, some of the laws, they have been archaic, the sacrifice of animals, they're fulfilled in Christ. But some things continue. Because altar building did not begin with the law. Altar building began from the time of Noah. Way before the law came. And many things that began from the time of Abraham still continue, even in our time. And the faith of Abraham has been espoused as a good one to follow, the faith of our father Abraham. So yesterday night, I talked about how Jesus has given authority to his disciples. In Matthew chapter 10, and as always, even though we preach a little bit, not much, in miracle service, you don't get to preach and teach in detail, but a little bit. Yesterday, I only got 1 point. You know, I seldom end a message with 1 point. But miracle service can just preach 1 point. And you all know, Bible study, we have lots of points. That's why most of you got 2 hours there. Matthew chapter 10, in verse 1, before he sent the disciples 2 by 2, he gave them authority and power over all sickness and disease. He gave them. Compare that with Luke chapter 9 verse 1 and 2. And look at the word all. In Matthew it says all manner of sickness and disease. In Luke 9 verse 1, same incident, it says all demons. So in both categories, they have total absolute power delegated unto them by our Lord Jesus Christ. Then he sent them out 2 by 2 in verse 5. Of course, he need to give them power, authority before he sent them out. And he did. He sent them out and he says, the kingdom of heaven, say in verse 7, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. So God will never send you to do something that he didn't give you the power to do. Of course he did. But the strange thing is, even though the power is given, it doesn't always work. And that's the mystery that we are solving. In Matthew chapter 17, 7 chapters later, the disciples, while Jesus was, the other 9 disciples stayed behind. Of course, Judas may not be around, but 3 of them went up, and 9 of them were down there, plus the other 70s that were around, that was always following. When Jesus came down, he found that There was a boy whom the disciples could not heal. So when he came down from the Mount of Transfiguration in verse 14, when they had come down, they means Jesus, Peter, James, and John, when they come down to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. He is an epileptic, suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire, often into the water. Now remember, let's stop at verse 15. Remember this, they have power, authority over that sickness. Otherwise, the Bible is contradicting itself. But the Bible does not contradict itself. Because 7 chapters earlier, Matthew chapter 10 verse 1, epilepsy is included in all manner of sickness and disease. And if this is a demon, the demons is under their authority. But look at verse 16. They could not cure. They could not. Their authority was not working. And it says here, I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him. Then Jesus said, oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? He reprimand the generation around. So before he reprimand his disciples, when they asked him, he reprimand that in general, the whole generation was faithless. They don't know how to have faith. And then Jesus, of course, rebuked the demon in verse 18, cured the child, and then the disciples came and said, why could we not cast it out? The same disciples whom Jesus in Matthew 10 verse 1 and 2, Luke 9 verse 1 and 2, gave authority and power over all sickness and disease, says they could not. Why could not? Now, we all know the story. You have heard of it before. And you know that Jesus said, this kind come forth not but by prayer and fasting. But that was the solution. That was not the problem. The problem is this, he says. Verse 20. Because of your unbelief. Wow. What is unbelief? What is this quality of unbelief? That it could paralyze, nullify a power that Jesus gave to his 12 disciples and the 70 disciples. What kind of power does this unbelief has? What exactly is unbelief? What's the quality of it? And Jesus gave the cure. One of the cures is to be persistent by fasting and prayer. See, he gave the solution. We'll talk about the solution afterwards. Perhaps tomorrow night. But tonight, and let me also say this. If you are here and you're not sick or you're not, you didn't come for healing, these miracle services will bless you. At the end of 2 weeks, which is 14 days, if in between you still fast on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, I assume, and it is still fast, just to remind you in case some of you are thinking of eating, you have to put it forward. 14 days. Fast. Well, at least we are less than 14 days. But for Era, myself, Lona, we're going to Australia. We still one more week. You're allowed to eat on the plane before you land. And the kids, of course, you're allowed to eat. And I know that Eddie already announced you're breaking the fast on the 17th already. And he put you dancing, you know, on the calendar. Wow, when I look at that, I say, Eddie, I'm still fasting, you know. So, it's going to be a long fast. And then when Israel gets back, when he comes back, he gets some food a few days. And then on the plane you can eat. Once you land there, you cannot eat. Because he has to fast another fast for USA, for the elections. And those who are going to fast along with him for the elections that is coming. And because this is the last president of the United States. And the things that prophesy has to take place. And there are only 5 weeks to the election. Only 5 weeks. And the closer he gets, the more he fasts. Then when nothing moves, then he might stop eating. Then nothing moves, all he needs, he won't stop breathing, but he'll be
You know, he's the prophet to America and he's praying the whole thing through. But we'll join you in the spirit, right? And Abraham next to you, he really fast too, right? Before he came to Singapore, when he here for 40 days, he used to think that some of you really fast. You know, and then he came, he realized that you're fasting eating vegetables. Yeah. Well, he was fasting. What do you fast? Liquid. Yeah, say 40 days, liquid. You know, until he land here, they say, oh, you are, you're fast. Huh? Praise the Lord. No. So, but then we have here this quality of unbelief. We need to understand what it is. You know, we'll deal with the fasting issue because that is one of the ways to stand in persistent faith. To stand in persistent faith. And remember, this has been done by men and women of old. Smith Wigglesworth, when he stubbornly resists the thing, if the devil doesn't budge, he won't move until he has that faith. John G. Lake and the apostle to Africa talk about how one time sickness was raging, the bubonic plague, and they prayed for nearly a few weeks before they broke their spirit. And they fasted and prayed. And there was an intercessor with him. So remember, these great stories of great men and women of God came through great fights because they persist, they didn't give up. Most people already give up, say maybe it doesn't work. For them, it has to work. We got no other thing. It has to work. It's just like many of us are so confident. On the first night, I preached about how preaching the gospel of healing should be as simple as preaching about Jesus Christ. See, all of you are so confident. If right now I ask you to go and win someone who is interested to accept Jesus Christ in the supermarket or in the street or in a mall, you have full confidence because you're trained. And you go to them and say, okay, you might read scriptures and say, you know, right now Jesus can come into your heart. You pray after me this prayer. And as you pray, you know, and nobody see anything. You don't see any vision. He doesn't see any vision. You don't feel anything. But you say, you pray. And then you say, now that you pray, you're born again. 100%. No, you're a child of God. How confident are you? Why don't you do that to healing? And you go to someone in a mall who wanted healing from Jesus Christ. And you preach the gospel. Jesus is our healer. And right now, I'm going to pray for you. And as I pray, Jesus is going to start the healing. How come we don't have the same faith? Because we have separated the gospel, the kingdom from healing. When it's all part and parcel of the same message. We have developed so much faith. Can you imagine? How much faith does it require to believe that person, a child of God, is born again, is saved from hell and going to heaven? That's a lot of faith. But when we come to believing God for healing, our faith is not developed. Because we've not been taught, we've not been trained. We need to retrain in all these areas. Because the time of healing and the flow of the kingdom of God has come again. And it is time. It is time. So what exactly is unbelief? There is such a problem. Last night I taught on the first point. That is from Mark chapter 9. And the same incident recorded by Mark. And that is we need to recognize a few phenomena. One of them is that belief and unbelief can exist in the same person. You thought it couldn't, it can. Obviously in Mark chapter 9, I give you the scripture to prove a point. When Jesus came down, there was a boy again, and then he was foaming, and there were more details given. He said the same thing, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? Bring him to me." When he came, he talked to the father, and this got more details. He says, he talked to the father, and he asked the father, because you know why? He was looking for faith. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. You may cry, you may weep, but you don't exercise faith. And faith is based on believing the word. Whether it be the written word or the spoken word, it is believing the word. Long ago, you know how Abraham has faith? There was no Bible. The first Bible was written by Moses. Moses wrote the first five books, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers and Deuteronomy. The first five books called the Pentateuch. So before Moses, there was no written word. How did Abraham become the father of our faith? Because he heard the voice of God and he believed. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the rhema of God. Spoken word of God. We must believe the written word and the spoken word. If God gave you a vision, just like God gave a vision about one of our dear members, Shalom, being healed. We believe. Because we believe, we might pray one time, it doesn't happen, we don't give up.
Nor do we stress them, like some Pentecostal who will stress, no, do this and do that. And all. We say, no, relax. Since God has given the word will perform. We will persistently pray, persistently fast, persistently do that. And we know when you stand and stand and stand in faith, one day it manifests. And that is another point that I'll talk about. There is a difference between the day you start believing and the day it manifests. Sometimes the timing is the same. Sometimes the timing is a distance. But whatever it is, we determine in our heart to constantly have belief and not unbelief. So what is this unbelief quality that was there? Jesus was looking for faith. He talked to the Father and he says, how long has this been happening? The Father says from childhood and describes all the thing. And then the Father appealed in verse 22. If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Jesus said, if you can believe, and tonight that's for you also, like last night I announced, and those of you online, and Joshua of South Africa who wrote to me yesterday, you believe the words and the vision that the Lord has given, your brother will be healed. Remove that object that I talk about and any other thing you find. Cleanse that house, anoint him, and he will be healed. The spoken word of God, the vision. He says, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believe. Immediately the father, the child cried out and said with tears, because he struggles, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. So you see that? He recognized he has still doubts in him. And he doesn't know how to get rid of all his doubts. But there's a willingness to want to believe. But unbelief and belief was inside him. And Jesus has to bring him to the point where he surrendered all. And Jesus is the author and finisher of faith. Perhaps he might have 70% faith and 30% unbelief. I do not know the percentage. Just a rough number. But when he surrendered, Jesus could cleanse all his unbelief. And fill that 30% with the gift of his faith and assurance. Because Jesus is the author and the finisher. Don't forget that he's the finisher. We all know he's the author. But do you know? Jesus must take the glory of finishing our faith. Why you think you're so great you want to be the finisher of your own faith? Fast 40 days. Fast 40 days. I demand that God heal me. You sound exactly like Job. Who don't realize your own self-confidence is your own self-righteousness and your own flesh sticking out like a sore thumb. And by the way, that was not an angel wing you're growing after fasting 40 days. That's your shoulder blade sticking out too tight. Jesus remains the finisher of our faith. The place where you will receive your miracle is a place of surrender, not a place of pride. It's a place where you don't even know how much percentage of faith you have. Then what is the purpose of faith? To please God. Why does it take so long? Because God has to be pleased. God might say, God knows us. God knows us. When we are children, he treats us as children. As we grow, he demands more. And then you might think that you have exercised in our faith. But God says, I'm pleased but not full yet. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that the men of old who walk by faith, they obtain a good testimony. What is a testimony? Not to humans. It was a testimony that God was pleased with them. And so God rewarded them. And if you complain, why so long? Why so long? I believe. But why so long? I believe. Why so long? Would you like to meet Father Abraham? Not this Abraham, but Father Abraham. This one not old enough. He doesn't have enough beard. You're probably like me, cannot grow jangot and beard. Can you? You don't know. I haven't tried. I had to ask Sarah. All right. And by the way, his wife is Sarah. Right. And so I can never grow a beard. And I wouldn't even try. But I know Errol can. When we travel on the plane, you know how we men, we have the evening shadow? Right? I could land, I would still be clean shaven. When he lands, I look, oh, is that the same guy? Right, okay, it's the same guy. Right, he's really grown. Meet Father Abraham. Father Abraham will tell you there was a day he started believing. He was probably in his late 70s. See, he came out at 75. Then he went to Egypt, came out, then time taken. Then by Genesis 12, he came out. Genesis 15, when God told him, I will give you a son from your own body. Then he asked God, how will this be? And God says, God tell him to cut a covenant. And then it says in the Bible, and it's quoted in the book of Romans, as the point in time when Abraham believed or started believing. Because everything points to that day in Genesis 15. That day was very important. Yesterday, last night was important for some of you. Or the day before, the day you started to believe. You know how unbelief is removed? This quality of unbelief. Sometimes it's removed in an instant, but then it tries to come back. Sometimes it slowly sweeps through, just like cleaning the house. It slowly sweeps, and you gather it together, and then before you take it all out. That was the day he started believing. We know the story of Abraham, that when he went into Hagar and had the child, which God promised, he must have thought, okay, this is a natural method. Maybe God was answering his prayer, but it was not. So that was only partial faith. Some unbelief was there. And then when God appeared to him in Genesis chapter 17, and he was 99 years old, God says, your wife Sarah will have a child next year. Abraham laughed. That's why he named his child Isaac. Laughter. And when he laughed, you can say it was a laughter of faith, but there's some unbelief. Because he said, how can Sarah so old, how can I so old have children? So there was unbelief. I agree, there's unbelief. But remember what I say? Unbelief and belief can live at the same time. But yet it can work. If you know how to surrender to God. You can surrender to God. And so indeed, just as this man surrendered to God, and Jesus immediately healed the child. In Mark chapter 9. Instantly. And at that moment, whether it was for 1 minute or 1 second, at that moment, suddenly all the unbelief disappeared. Remember, one tiny dot of unbelief would have stopped that flow. Or make the healing imperfect. But God decided that at that very time, at that very place, Jesus brought him to the point where the father, as he was crying, whatever percentage of faith he has, he could not meet that level that needs to bring that miracle. Jesus supplied. Jesus stopped it and finished. All he needed was a surrender heart. And Jesus was the finisher of his faith. And that day, his son was delivered. And you know, once he sees his son delivered, many people, they start believing after they see. And so their faith is remain at a high level. If they learn how to hold on to that. The same way in Abraham. But in Abraham's life, you learn one thing. That the first point is belief and unbelief can exist at the same time. And you need to surrender to God. But the second point is this. It can be milliseconds or few seconds or minutes between unbelief and belief and then unbelief. That means you can go from unbelief into belief very quickly if you let God's word come into your life. Or you could go from belief into unbelief and into belief again if you're not watchful. Let's look at Abraham in the gospel, in the book of Genesis chapter 17. Genesis chapter 17. In this story. Genesis chapter 17. Again, he was 99 years old. And when he saw God, he fell before God and he worshipped God. Then God spoke with him and kept his promise. And perhaps I should also turn to 15, just before that, to show you at which point he started believing. Because I want to emphasize this point. It is more important when you start believing than when the miracle actually takes place or the manifestation. Now remember this. Whatever God was doing in Abraham's life, he was not doing because of chapter 17. He was 99 years old. He was doing because he remembered the day that Abraham started believing. If he was, let's take a rough figure, if he was, he has to be more than 75. So, if let's say 5 years has taken place before Genesis 15, actually less than 5 years, probably 2-3 years, but easier to count if it was 80 years old. By now, 19 years have passed by. And on the 20th year, he would have a child. That 19 years is a long, long time. But whatever God appeared to him, and he was actually more or less around 70. Most scholars say he's about 78. So give 2 or 3 years. So 75, 76, 77. Let's say 77. So that would be 19. And then plus 3 to 80. So that will make him about 22 years. 22 years ago, before Genesis 19, he started believing. Was it important that he started believing then? Yes. By the time God appeared when he was 99 years old in Genesis 17, it was not because now he started believing. Even though, yes, he has some doubts. Even though, yes, he failed a bit to a certain extent when he went into Hagar and have a natural child and thought that was God's answer instead of waiting for the miracle of God. Genesis 15 was very important in his life and in the spiritual realm. And here's the thing. When some things are done at that time when you start believing, when the angels start to record certain things, even though you might have your doubts, your unbelief, and all those things, and then you get back again. You keep getting back again. You keep meandering like a river. You keep going up and down, but you started the process. You started the process. That start was important in verse 6, chapter 15. He believed in the Lord, and he accounted it for righteousness. This verse is quoted over and over and over again in the book of Romans as a starting point. You might not realize that angels do record certain events. See, certain spiritual events are more important in God's sight than human events. When Jesus came to this earth, do you know the first Christmas was very quiet? There were no Christmas lights. All the shops were doing all the other things except Christmas. The only place that was Christmassy was a little manger. And because there were nobody there, God has to appear to shepherds. Why didn't he appear to the shopkeepers all around? Why didn't the angels appear to the shopkeepers nearby? They don't have to walk so far. You know, and they hear the sound of angels. Glory to God in the highest! Until the whole Bethlehem shakes. Because even if it did, none would have heard. Too busy buying, selling, buying, selling, buying, selling. So God doesn't waste energy, doesn't speak to them. Instead, he went out of town where the shepherds were wondering they missed out on everything because everybody gone to town. Well, it's a big time. The census was on. It was like everybody returning hometown. Pasar Malam everywhere. And you have, you know, it's like Chinese New Year or Christmas return, you know, or whatever. And it was a time of celebration, everyone came to hometown. And they were all level up, you know. We are still watching sheep by night. Suddenly the whole sky was brightened and the cloud of angels was saying, "This day your king is born." Oh, some of them say, "Hey, if your king is born, exciting time." And he say, "Hey, Fred, might not be Fred, like, just give me a name. Fred, you take care of all the sheep, because all the sheep also asleep. See, the angels very good." Maybe, who knows, the angel could slay all the sheep, you know, under the power. And then just one shepherd enough. And then the whole group of shepherds go. Now, they didn't make that noise. I made that noise so you know they're moving. And so they go all the way to the manger, and that was the only Christmas there. But today, you know, Christmas has been abused and used and shopping's everywhere, you know. Even sometimes after one Christmas, they prepare for next Christmas. Well, the next sale is going on. There are many spiritual events that people are ignorant of. The Antichrist born last year, false prophet born 2004, and many other things. When the Pergamos glory came on February 9, 2012, very few people know. But small things become the central things, especially when God is involved. I want you to tell you, there's been born witness. I say, if we say, you might say, yala, you're going to say all these things all the time. We have more than two or three witnesses, people we do not know, but some people who see visions, like Nelly's son in USA, came to the US outpouring on July the 4th. And remember, he has open vision. Some people are born, they can see spirits and all that. And he saw in some churches way dark, that's why he never attended some churches. He saw darkness there. And then when he came to the meeting that was held where COG USA is, and he saw, wow, angels around. And when he saw angels around, then he asked the angel, "No, what's your name?" The angel said, "I'm Gabriel." "Wow, Gabriel! You know, this is..." Then he said, "Oh, there's Michael over there. Michael, the archangel. Yeah, the one in Genesis chapter, Revelation chapter 12. And there is Raphael. There's Phanuel." And say, "Wow, these are the, you know, these are the..." If I can say these words, pardon me, angels, they're human expression. "These are the biggest guns in the universe." It's like God sending nuclear power, you know. He's like, what's God doing? Because a lot of these events are important to the Lord. So that, like I say, wherever we go now, these four angels, they are here tonight. And not only that, Jesus gave us the name of the three spirit beings who work with him. And he showed us in vision. Do you know how he preached to the multitude? They don't use microphones in those days. They don't have microphones. And we saw two spirit beings, and they were on his side. And then there was a spirit being above that created a canopy so that the voice of Jesus was carried right through. Supernatural things happening. Three spirit beings that work with Jesus that cause all the energizing as the miracles. Which is why we have been having miracles, miracles, and miracles that God is doing in the heart of different people's life. And it is now time to go forth with the message. And they empower and they energize a lot. Because this is the end time move. And again I say, I'm not the only one whom God will use. God is raising 500. He's raising millions. And we intend to raise up at least 10 million fivefold ministers to send all over the world with this message. And then the day will come when God will let us, God will show us in vision. He will bring the signs of Moses somewhere over the next 3 to 4 years in this revival of the Third Great Awakening, the signs of Moses will begin. When God will say, "Take these signs and go and announce to every church, to every community, to every country. Because this is the end time." But now we start the message. The ingathering has begun. The training has begun. For everyone to be part of this move. And that was when Abraham started believing. See, the spiritual event is sometimes very important. Even though natural things happen, you know, many natural things happen over the next 22 years, if he was 77 years old at that time. Over 22 years, all manner of human events come and go. But in Genesis chapter 17, God never forgot when he first believed. Positive or negative. You remember the story of Daniel in Nebuchadnezzar. Remember that the word called watchers is used. It's in reference to angels. And the word watchers is used in reference to angels. And I repeat again. The word watchers was used in reference to angels. The word watchers was used in reference to angels in the book of Daniel. And when King Nebuchadnezzar was proud, became proud, he had his first warning when he was wondering about the statue. Then he had a warning that tells him, in a dream, he saw a tree being cut down. And Daniel warned him, don't be proud. The watchers were already watching. Then on the day that he released the fullness of his pride, when he was walking in the gardens, hanging gardens of Babylon, and he said, is this not a great kingdom which I build by my power, by my this, my that? There's a voice from heaven that says, today, you'll be brought down. And he was brought down for 7 years. 7 times in those references. 7 years. And if not for Daniel, the kingdom would have been gone. Because Daniel knew the thing. He must have told everyone. And he was like chief minister in that time. He held the kingdom together until Nebuchadnezzar recovered and humbled himself. There is a God who watches. And there are some spiritual events that are important that to the world they don't realize. But God will always mark by those events. So like I say, in Abraham's life, Genesis chapter 15 was important. So by chapter 17, God appeared and God says, walk before me. And it was because of the covenant he has already made. But now it was time to manifest. Remember, the time when you believe and the time when you manifest may be a gap. I'll explain about the gap and how to shorten the gap. But I need to point out there could be a gap, as in Abraham's time. But when it comes, it comes. And he says, next year it will happen. Look, Abraham still got some unbelief. He says in verse 3. Abraham fell on his face, talked to God. And then when God told him all those things, and then God says, I will keep my covenant with you. This is my covenant. We shall keep. We talk about circumcision and everything else. Then he says, as for Sarah, your wife, you shall not call her Sarai, but Sarah. And I will bless her. And all these things. And then in verse 17, Abraham fell on his face. He laughed. But he don't dare to say anything because that was God. Now here's the thing. If you have unbelief in your heart and you don't speak it out, it's just churning in you. You're like Abraham. He just laughed. And then he knew why he laughed. You know, when a person laughed, there could be 1,000 reasons why they laugh. But he knew why he laughed. Because in his heart he is saying, can a child be born to 100-year-old man? Now, I was asking this Abraham whether he liked that blessing. He says, no, thank you. There was a child 100 years old. And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? Then he laughed. And then he says, oh, that Ishmael might live. And then God says in verse 19, no. Sarah, your wife, will bear you a son. And you shall call his name Isaac, because you laugh, so let's call him Isaac. And when he's finished talking, God went out for Abraham. And Abraham did that. Can you see that Abraham immediately did circumcision? That showed that even though whatever little unbelief was left, it was all finishing. Finally, faith and unbelief were fighting inside. And faith was coming to the point where it drive out the last bit of unbelief. After that, there was no more unbelief. That was when the miracle started. And
Exactly 1 year later, the Lord appeared. Or a short time later, the Lord appeared. And you're sitting there. And then the Lord says to him, now, and he went and said, where is Sarah? And he and the angels were there. He said, he in the tent. And I will certainly return to you according to the time of life. Behold, Sarah, your wife, shall have a son, according to the normal pregnancy period. And Sarah was listening at the tent door. Like most women. No, like some women. Like some men also. He's listening. And now they were very... Then it says, watch out. Sarah also laughed. She also laughed. Then the Lord said, verse 13, why did Sarah laugh? Surely, you know, is anything too hard for the Lord? This is a question I ask you. Is anything too hard for the Lord? DNA healing, whatever healing that is required, is anything too hard for the Lord? We know God can do it. The question is not when the healing takes place. The question is, when do we start believing? That's a more important question. Abraham started believing 22 years ago. Life is tough, life is difficult, sometimes he has his doubts. But he pulled himself up. Even when God talked to him, he immediately reacted, but he quickly believed. And Sarah said, I didn't laugh. Because she's never very frightened when God said, why do you laugh? And then God very kind. God says, no, you did laugh. And God didn't do anything after that. And they have a child. In Matthew chapter 14, here's another case. And it gives us a little bit more insight. Jesus walking on the water. Of course, they all cried out in fear, as you can see in our verse, Matthew 14, verse 26. Because they thought it was a ghost. Right? Who walks on the water 3 to 4 a.m.? So, you know, and don't forget, those days there were no searchlight and anything. And if they had candlelights, you know, you probably have to be protected or whatever. And then there was strong wind everywhere. And 3 to 4 a.m., which is the fourth watch. And at that time, wind very strong. And anybody gone into the sea, strong wind, you know what it sounds like? Ooh! And then Jesus, as you know, wear beige or white, what hell color. And suddenly, and Jesus don't exactly walk. He was almost like floating on the water. And then he just came near to see how they are. And then when they see this white figure coming near and near, some of them cry. In the Indonesian, they cry, Hantu, Hantu, Pontianak! Right? Whatever it was. And Jesus said a shout out. Which means ghosts. Which in the end, Jesus said, it is I! And then they're all quiet. Remember, now if they were shouting in fear, don't you think none of them have any faith? They're all frightened. Frightened grown men. Yeah, grown men. I don't know how many were in the boat. And I wonder whether any other thing on them, whether they can jump, whether Pontianak can catch him while swimming, whatever. But whatever it was, they were frightened. When you're frightened, you don't have faith. But out of that midst of the fear, one of them, Peter, says, if it is you, well, he's testing this. If it's you, Lord, call me, come to you on the water. Very brave man. And everyone wondered whether Jesus would take that. That was a challenge. And Jesus wanted to assure them. And a voice came rolling on the water. Here comes Jesus. Right? But at that time, they're not sure it's Jesus. All they hear is a voice. Come! And Peter started going out and walked, and he walked on the water. I would say when he was walking, that was pure faith. Had to be faith. Walking in the water.
And as he walked in verse 30, he saw the wind was boisterous. He began to notice circumstances. Then he began to be frightened. Frightened of what? Frightened of drowning. Fear started coming. Then while he was sinking, at least he still called. You know, when he was sinking, he at least didn't doubt. At least he has enough faith in him. He didn't have zero faith. He still got little faith. Enough faith to say, "Help!" Yes, even that is good. Call on Jesus and you will be saved. Isn't that true? Call on Jesus and you shall be healed. Say, "Lord, save me!" And immediately, Jesus was next to him. No time for long prayers. You know, sometimes we pray for people healing. Doesn't mean the longer we pray, the better the healing. We just take time to let the Lord work in praise and worship. It's better to pray, release it at the right time, and then worship. And Peter don't have long time for long prayers. Actually, the rate of his sinking, not enough time even to say Lord's Prayer. Which they were taught in Matthew chapter earlier. You know, he said, "Heavenly Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come." Finish. Not enough time. Three words only can get out. "Lord, save me!" And that was it. Jesus caught him. And look at what Jesus says. "Oh, you of little faith, why do you doubt?" Can you see that the doubt can cancel the healing? The doubt can cancel the miracle. Now, here's an example of, he walked on water, then he was drowning. Jesus came, that means little faith. But Jesus pulled him up and he walked with Jesus back to the boat. So there was another part that was not shown, that he did walk with Jesus to the boat. And already we have teached it before. He has to be enough distance from the boat to ask for help. Remember, he's a fisherman. It's not like he took two steps and then he said, "Hey, I'm drowning." Hey, professional fisherman. Two strokes and he will be on the boat if he were two steps. He has to be enough distance from the boat and there's enough waves and danger that he knows he cannot reach back. So that means wherever he started sinking was still a distance. And he got to walk all the way on water back. As I show again, faith and unbelief, number one, can live in the same person. But within the same person, if you examine closer, number two, sometimes faith starts, then it grows and pushes the unbelief out. Like Abraham. It's almost like a graph for Abraham. In Peter, you see him have faith at times, then he drop, then he have faith again. Then later on, he denied Jesus, oh, he drop again. Then he confessed he loved Jesus, oh, he's up again. So, all of us have our different journey of faith. But we need to know that it is how you end that's important. And learn to be quick to call on the Lord. Even in Abraham, when he doubted for a moment, he realized he was wrong, and straight away, within seconds and minutes, he corrected himself. And sometimes people can start with unbelief. In the Gospel of Luke, when Gabriel appeared to Zacharias, and they had prayed for a long time for a child, and God actually already recorded that they will have the healing. But for them, it was a long, long time. It was a long, long time. So you have this story that took place in Luke chapter 1, that while he was serving God and he was an old man by then the angel appeared to him in a temple in verse 13 and says, "Do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Now, based on the Bible, without faith, you cannot please God. Without faith, God cannot hear your prayers, correct? So if his prayer was heard, that means he must have some faith. That means at a certain point, he did break through and there was a mark done in the spiritual realm. And God already marked the day and the hour he's going to bring the manifestation. Again, I say, the point when you start believing and the point when God manifests could be two different points. And God sent an angel. Why? Before Gabriel spoke one word, time has passed and a lot of unbelief has come. But when he was young, he really believed God. The fact that he still served God means he loved God. Even though his prayer was not answered yet. Some faith was there. He cannot say no faith. God already marked the day he wanted to send his angel. And the day came. Gabriel came because of his earlier faith. Gabriel came because God said, Gabriel, tell him the prayer is answered. That's before Gabriel say one word. And Gabriel came and said, do not be afraid, Zacharias. Your prayer is heard. Your wife will give birth. But at that time, he's already old. Most likely in his 90s. Again, another Father Abraham type of blessing. Close, missed by 10 years. If he was 90, missed by 10 years. 100 would be interesting. Then you got two cases, which means we might have a third case. Anyway, so, only one of you there. So, we have, now looking at Deborah, she said, don't look at me. And, so we say here, says, do not be afraid. Zacharias, for your prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear your son. And then while he's speaking and all these things, Zechariah got some unbelief and said, how shall I know this? I'm an old man. My wife is also advanced in years. See, there's unbelief. There's faith, there's belief, there's unbelief. And because of the unbelief, in his mercy, the mercy of God, God sealed his mouth. Because the word is important. And I've sought the Lord. Why he shut his mouth? It's not in the Bible, but I'll tell you the spiritual reason. If at any time you say the wrong thing, the child could have been aborted. Satan will attack through the word. Satan will claim his rights. So attack. So God sealed his mouth. He can do anything but cannot talk. And he knew, of course, this is a sign. Until the child was born, safely born, then God let him talk. And I use that as a lesson today. During the time your faith and your unbelief are fighting within you, of course, we're not going to ask the archangel Gabriel, though he's here, to strike you dumb under your healing. Otherwise, for some of you, if you're Abraham, it might be 22 years of no words. Of course, that's when your wife might say hallelujah. But it is important to know that you don't give room to the enemy on your lips. For by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Abraham only struggled in his heart. But here is also the reason why it takes time. See, here's the spiritual world, here's the natural world. And I'll illustrate it with a box. There's a spiritual world, here's a natural world. The further distance they are, the longer time it takes from the natural and the spiritual. If right now you're in heaven, when you ask God for anything, it will instantly appear in front of you. There's no delay because you're fully spiritual. So the key is to bring your natural world to spiritualize your natural world. Until your natural world is spiritualized. If it's closer to hell, it be. Take some time. Of course, God, by intercession, help, and all those things, can bring it fast. But in general physics, there's a law and order to things. But the closer you spiritualize your natural world, the faster things come. And then when you pray, it just appears straight away. When your natural world is spiritualized. You saw the reason for unbelief. Peter took his eyes and looked at the natural. Aren't we told about great faith in Mark 11, verse 23, 24? Whatever you pray, believe in your heart, do not doubt in your heart, and you will have what you say. So it's important to maintain the condition of being without doubt. Remember Jesus, he held on to Peter's hand and he shouted, help, and says, why did you doubt? Yes, why did you doubt? You already started well. Why did you doubt? We humans are so used to doubts. In fact, in universities and when you do different things and academic studies, you're taught critical thinking. You're taught to question everything. You're taught, in a sense, to doubt everything and reestablish everything. That's all right as a mental training and mental exercise. I always, you know, encourage all children and all people to go for finish your studies. Education is good. But remember that the world of doubts and unbelief is not the world of the spiritual. So the more you spiritualize your natural world and stop looking at your natural world, but every day look at the things of the spirit. Now you might say, how can people live that way? Paul lived that way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, he says, now, Jesus lived that way. Didn't Jesus always... How many of you would dare to challenge Jesus that Jesus always looked in the spiritual? Correct? He didn't just do the natural. He was in the natural world, but he lived in the spiritual world. Paul did that in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. He tells us this was his constant thing. Remember, this is like the theme of his life in verse 18. He says, while we do not look at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. Now you know why he's a great man. Because he saw that portion. And you might say, oh, that only for spiritual men. No. Even people who change history in the natural. The great men and women whom God has used to change countries, to change technology, to change history, are people who believe in the invisible, which is their dream. They believe that their dream can come into reality, even though that dream was something in another realm. It was not in a physical realm. They believe it. Before they build the European a tunnel, which they call the channel, it was dreamed about by many dreamers. But it takes more than a dream. It takes technology, it takes engineering, and it takes money. In the end, money was the issue to get it done. Not engineering or technology itself. Someone has to think about how to finance it. Someone has to think how to build it. Someone has to think how to engineer it. But someone has to start with saying, it can be done. And over many generations, they finally did it. And it's a tunnel under the English Channel that connects England to France. So the world is being changed by dreamers, visionaries. For without a vision, the people perish. Great nations are born because they are great men and women who believe in the greatness of a nation. And they can turn darkness into light. This nation is an example. Right? Whatever their faults and whatever the things of the early leaders, we give salute to the first generation of leaders in this country. They turned this into one of the most prosperous countries in the world. A one-city country. It might not be perfect, but they did a good job. Look at how clean this whole place is. It used to be a dirty little place. It could have been. Look at Africa. They got so much opportunity. Some places have so much resources and oil. You know what they need? Visionaries. Dreamers who will pay the price and say it can be done. Every country needs missionaries and visionaries and dreamers. Now, if that is true in the natural, how much more in the spiritual? That only those who see God face to face can bring people to see God face to face. Only those who work with angels, even though you might not see them, can bring people to work with angels. Only those who have known God can tell you about God. For without that intimate knowledge, we got nothing to say. So we have to see the invisible and know that that invisible, like Paul, changes this nature. Great men and women of God are needed today. You are being recruited. You are being called as a first, second generation of people to rise and be part of the end time move. To rise and no more compromise with our traditions. To rise and let our faith believe as the Bible for 2,000 years and revival after revival after revival. You know what the longing of all Christians is? They want to see the God of the Bible. They want to see the Bible come alive again. But for that, you need a man or woman of God to walk with God like the Bible people. Correct? Average is not good enough now. You have to have a passion, a love, a desire to walk with God like Enoch walked. To walk with God like Abraham walked. To walk with God like Elijah walked. To walk with God like Moses walked. To walk with God like Jesus walked. To walk with God like the apostles walked. It can be. Every generation is asking for a man or woman to do that. But this end time generation, we are asking for millions to stand up and walk with God. And you will see the signs and the wonders of God. Because God wants to raise up a glorious church. And it is time, because the Antichrist has been born last year. It is time for the glorious church. It's time for the saints to possess the kingdom of God. And to shake the dust from their life. To shake all the sickness from their life. To shake all the sin out of their life. To walk in holiness. And rise to the place where God wants. Let's all rise and stand together in this move of God. We thank you, Father God. As we stand on holy ground, we thank you, Father. We are a chosen generation. We sing songs about how great our Jesus is. And then we must be able to turn around and heal the sick. We sing songs about Jesus healing the lame and opening blind eyes. Then we must be able to turn around and heal the blind and raise the lame. We thank you, Father. No more shall we live a two-tier Christianity. One part, just knowledge in our head and the songs we sing. But when we come down from singing, we don't see the reality. That cannot be so anymore. For it is time, for your kingdom has come. The glory of Pergamos, let it shine forth in this place. The glory that shone when you took back Pergamos in February 9, 2012. The glory that is released when the Ancient of Days says, in February the 9th to the 11th, that it is time for the saints to possess the kingdom. The sevenfold glory when we went forth to build the altars in USA. Seven times glory, when even all the 24 elders shook and trembled as the seven times glory come to the earth. Let all this fullness of glory come into a reality. Let it not be just visions, but let it be in our souls and in our bodies. And let it transform each life. For those who are healthy, let them receive renewal of youth. For those who are sick or who need healing, let them receive their healing. Let them start believing. And in your own way, in your own time. Because it is time now that the gap between believing and manifestation is now going to be removed. And we are standing at a change, at a point of change. We are beginning to feel the glory of God flow like a river in reality. And the flow of the tidal waves of God's healing power in signs and wonders. We are at that point now. We're at the beginning of where the rise of the wave of healing and signs and wonders has begun. We're in the waters like in Ezekiel, all flowing in your spirit. So Father, here we are. We give ourselves to you. And we thank you, Father. There will be no sickness and disease among your people. There will be no sin, but only holiness among your people. And we become a holy and glorious people unto you, Father. In Jesus' name. We are standing on holy ground. We are standing on holy ground, and I know that there are angels all around. Let us praise Jesus now. We are standing in His presence on holy ground. We have our hand lifted to the Lord. The Lord's going to release His renewal power into your life. He's also doing a different healing, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, about the fifth row, or to the left side. It's a man with a limb condition in your body. And the limb condition has caused you in a certain way to feel sometimes sickly without being sick. And you have various ailments that sometimes come to you that doctors cannot diagnose. It is a limb condition that you're having. And also vertigo. God is healing vertigo tonight. And various other ailments that the Lord is releasing. Your balance problem. The Lord is touching and healing. Renewing your spirit, soul, and your body. Father, we stand in your presence. Again, you just stand and worship. Just stand and worship and believe. Believe, stand and worship and receive. Right now, wherever you are, lift up your hands. Those online, stand up. Wherever you are, lift up your hands and worship with us. There's no distance in the spirit. We worship you, Lord. We are standing in faith, Lord. We stand in believing. We leave our manifestation to you. Complete your faith. Wash away all unbelief by the blood of Jesus. Wash away all unbelief, oh God, by your compassion. And help everyone and finish the work in his life. Finish the work. When we have exercised all the faith that we know how to exercise, Father God, through Jesus, finish the faith. Let Jesus take the glory and finish the faith. He is the author who began the walk of faith. And He's the finisher of our faith. Finish the faith in our life and take the glory. The worship that is due unto you. Holy, 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 holy. Holy, holy, holy. Lord, among us. Be filled with the Spirit. Even never baptized in the Spirit. Receive the baptism even where you stand. And God give you a new tongue to worship Him right now. Open your mouth and speak forth in Jesus' name.
Wherever you are, receive the manifestation in your life or the beginning of your walk in faith. Just love Him because you love Him. Just love like Abraham. He never saw a miracle, yet he keep believing, keep honoring. Every time he saw God, he rushed to worship God. Oh, be like Abraham. Just love Him. Love Him because He's a God of faith. Please God. Please God. And let God be pleased with your faith. Let your faith not depend on circumstances. Let your faith not depend on what you feel. Let your faith not depend on what you see. Let your faith depend on your heart, because you choose to believe. Allah gabra bashtiyan ala mashto angala she Allah ramase angala she angala se she ala she angala she Asha ho ngale le 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 angara dara karya te kriya shato shato lo sho angega la shana la sho aliana la gasaliate aliana la open the spiritual eyes of God. Of Peter and Mariana's daughter right now. Open her eyes to see your glory and your healing work upon her ears and your creative work. Allah Gabraba Shiar Allah. Open the eyes of your people to see and to know you. Open the hearts of your people to see and to know you. You are the true and the living God. There's no other God but you. No other God but you. Oh Lord Jesus, Allah, and the Father of our Lord Jesus. Angala gabraba de gabraba baria talabari gabraba talabara balabaste ngala gabraba stolaba de gabraba. Let them all see the invisible. Let them, like Paul, become great and mighty people under you. Raise up a chosen generation. Raise up an army for your people here and those who are hearing online. Raise up a mighty army, O God, in this end time to take the kingdom. For it is time to possess a kingdom. It is time to possess a kingdom. Oh, to drive out all sin, sicknesses, diseases, demons, fallen angels, and the devil. To drive them all out. The judgment has come upon an enemy. Father, we have stood together, even as the saints of old have stood together at the Jericho wall. And with one shout, they shout, and Jericho wall came down. But for 7 days, they walk in silence. And on the sixth day, they walk, on the seventh day, they walk around, O Lord, even faster, because you told them to walk around more. Thank you, Father, for all that you have done. Thank you for the faith that has risen in each heart and in each life. Thank you for the signs and the wonders and the miracles that you do through these. We thank you, Father, and we stand together, hand in hand, side by side, knowing, Father, all that you're going to do in these end times. And it is a great outpouring that your Spirit is pouring out here in this place, and then in the countries that we're going to go. Thank you, Father, that we bring the outpouring everywhere. And you're going to sweep in a harvest of souls with signs and wonders. We love you, Father. At the end of the day, we just know that the most important thing is to worship you. Give you all the praise and worship and honor and glory. So we do worship you and give you all the glory and honor for all that you have done.
And we'll continue to wait upon you in worship because we love you. We love you because you're our God. We love you not because of what you can do. We love you for who you are. Regardless of what circumstances we all go through, we choose to love you. And that will never change, Father. The only change will be that our love will grow stronger and stronger each day until we meet you face to face. So let that be so in each heart and each life. And let the great blessings that you have restore in each one. Let there be a restoration. The many things that are taking place in the bodies here that they know not of yet, that they'll discover. Many things that are possible in the spirit that they will discover. Many things in the soul. Thank you, Father. We give you thanks and we worship you. And we will continue to worship you when the meeting ends, because you're worthy of our worship. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Give you a good clap offering.